I believe that our God is such a marvelous Father. And we don't always comprehend all of what He's up to. But He's faithful. And His ways are certainly not our ways. And He does things His way all the time, which I would impress you to realize that. And this morning, I want to start with the Bible Dictionary. So sometimes we need to know what the meaning of a word is to really change us. And he gave me a scripture this morning, and I will share the scripture in a few moments, but the word that I want to really impact you with today is consecration. Now, the word consecration means the act of setting apart or dedicating something or someone for God's use. Not for your own use. In the Old Testament, the temple and its trappings were the most important objects consecrated to God. And it's in 2 Chronicles 7, verses 5 through 9. Ezra 6, verses 16 and 17, and Aaron and his sons were consecrated to the priesthood. Exodus 29.
Excuse me.
I'm going too fast. Tad, okay. Where do you want me back up?
At the beginning.
At the beginning, there was light.
The act of setting apart, and then what was the second part of it?
Okay, let me back it up a little bit. So, let's see. The act of setting apart or dedicating.
Oh, okay, thank you.
Okay, because dedication means that it's something awesome. It's not just an average word. Something or someone for God's use. Now, that's pretty intense. Not for your own use, but for Him. And, of course, it goes on about the Old Testament, the temple, the trappings, etc., the objects of consecrated to God. And I gave you 2 Chronicles 7.
5 through 9.
5 through 9. Ezra 6, 16 and 17.
Okay.
Yeah. And Aaron and his sons were consecrated to the priesthood, Exodus 29. And Leviticus 8. But even such items as the spoils of the battle. Now that's awesome. The leftovers. The spoils of the battle. Joshua 6, verse 19. And Micah 4, verse 13. The next level is even more sweet because if you have animals, and if you've ever loved animals, you say, well, what about animals? And the cattle could be consecrated. Mm-hmm. Leviticus 27, verse 28. Before the beginning of the priesthood in Israel's history, the firstborn of men and beasts alike were consecrated, Exodus 13:2. But after the priesthood began, the tribe of Levi served as a substitute in his consecration, Numbers 3, verse 12. So this gives you quite a bit of material there about consecration. And in the New Testament, the supreme example of consecration is Christ Himself. John 17, verse 19. Hebrews 7, verse 28. Hebrews 10:10. Now here's the part for you and me. But believers are also consecrated by Christ. Do you think Jesus is going to get his prayers answered?
Guaranteed.
I like that word. Guaranteed. Okay? Are you ready? John 17, 17. And 1 Peter 2, 9. And our urge to consecrate themselves as well. In other words, we also need to have a part in it. Romans 12, verse 1. 2 Timothy 2, verse 21. One of the results of our consecration by Christ is that we are now a priesthood of believers. Ah. We are now. It doesn't say you will be. Right?
Yes.
We are now. So, do we serve a now God?
Yes.
Or is it going to be 1,000 years from now when He's ruling and reigning? He's already ruling and reigning if you want Him to.
That's right.
Amen.
Okay? With direct access to our Heavenly Father, Ephesians 3, verse 11 and 12. Now, I gave you Nelson's Illustrated Bible Dictionary word. Okay? And I want to go a little deeper. How many know, like, unless we go a little bit deeper sometimes, we just don't catch on? Okay? The word that God pushed into my heart this morning was the word in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Okay? And I'd like to start with verse 2. For we know what instruction we gave you by the authority of the Lord Jesus. It is God's will that you should be sanctified or consecrated. The NIV says sanctified. That you should avoid sexual immorality, and it goes on to all the things. But I want to stress the rules and regulations are wonderful. But unless, see, if we concentrate just on the reality that you've got to be pure in your thoughts and pure in your actions, you're going to go right back to the law. And my purpose today is to try to get you to move up a little bit. Okay? If I can get you to move up a little bit, we're going to have a different opinion of who we are. The Amplified, verse 2. For you know what charges and precepts we gave you on the authority and by the inspiration of the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, that you should be consecrated, separated, set apart for pure and holy living, that you should abstain and etc. from all the other things. But you see, I believe that once you begin to understand and focus that you are a consecrated vessel, that other stuff is going to fall away. But we've had this impact and this pressure tactic that you've got to perform to make yourself holy. And that brings on what? What does that bring?
Guilt,
condemnation, and what else?
Religion gets in.
No kidding. Now, I quoted to you John 17 several times, and I'd just like to repeat that, what it says. Sanctify them by the truth with words. Your word is truth. I'm sorry. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. Who is the word? Jesus. Romans 15, verse 16 verifies that. The next level. 1 Corinthians 1:30. It is because of Him that you are in Christ Jesus. Did you hear that? Whose activity puts you into the kingdom? Jesus. Yes, you bowed. God drew you. But in reality, it still goes right back to Him. Okay? It is because of Him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God. That is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Whoa. Isn't that cool? The next one is Ephesians 5:26. And Ephesians says, to make her holy. That's the church. Are you in the church? Okay. Now, you remember when the Holy Spirit brought our brother Doug over, I never give him instruction. He never asks if there's anything special. There's been a couple times that he's done that, and he already knows. I said, when you come here in obedience to the anointing of the Lord. Whatever he lays on you, you obey. Because I will not give you dictates. I won't do it. And we had that discussion the very first time he came, because I knew that if I gave him dictates, the freedom of the Holy Spirit would be stifled. I don't believe in that. When Pastor Jay came yesterday, that was so sweet of him confirming what the Holy Spirit has been pushing in for 2 days. And he just comes in and just decides to give us one more hit. And I saw the smiles on your faces because, you know, it was just God. You couldn't miss that it was God. And if you remember, his comment at the beginning is, I was pressed of God for this word for you. It's pressed of God. So God is talking to us.
I've never seen him so free. It was amazing to watch. The freedom in him. Something is broken off.
Oh, yes. Oh, absolutely. In fact, the Lord gave me a vision. And I won't go into the details. But I will tell you this, that he said for us to go ahead and continue interceding for him. Okay? And so, continue. Don't stop. Now, is there a need for us to activate something on this consecration part? 2 Timothy 2, verse 21. If a man cleanses himself from the latter, he will be an instrument for noble purpose, made holy, useful to the master, and prepared to do any good works. And it's confirmed in Hebrews 10:10. So let's go to Hebrews 10:10. And I'd like to give you the Amplified version on that one. I think it's going to go a little bit deeper. Hebrews 10:10. In accordance with this will of God, we have been made holy. Have been made is in my Bible. Have been made. And I know that Doug concentrated on that and pushed your buttons on it, but I don't want you to let it go. Have been made holy. Have been made holy. Are you ready for the next level? Consecrated and sanctified. In parentheses. Through the offering made once and for all of the body of Jesus Christ, the appointed one. The appointed one. The one that was appointed by God to do the work that you could never do. Or that the ones that came before him could ever do. And by the way, he's still the firstborn of many brothers. Romans 8. Okay. So, in the understanding that God is really pushing our buttons to understand that we are sanctified, consecrated, holy unto him, is this concentration on this fleshy stuff so important that we now become so focused on our sin that we lose track of what's next? You'll never serve the purposes of God while you're focused on your sin. You're going to be focused on how ugly you are, how disabled you are, how useless you really are, because after all, if you were really holy, you wouldn't be doing this. Well, I've got news for you. Even the holiest of men fell. I believe, in my understanding, when you look at Peter, you've got a mighty man of God. What does he do? He flubs it. St. Paul says to him, what are you doing? So even as Peter's shadow was able to release healing to the saints, he was still a failure to his example that he should have been giving, and he failed. And it took another man of God to bring him to what? To repentance.
so that he wouldn't give a bad example. He wasn't being Christ-like when he was saying, oh, okay, I'm going to be holy, and I'm going to meet with the Gentiles that are now full of the love of God. And then as soon as those from his background, the Jews, show up, he changes his mind. Oh, I can't eat with them now. I have to observe the law. And St. Paul got upset. And I don't want to go there, but I'm trying to show you that this man failed. He fell short. Yes?
Yeah.
Did he walk with Jesus for 3.5 years, and then when it came the time to say, I will never deny you, within hours, he nosedives? Does that mean that there's hope for me? Thank you. Would you look at your neighbor and say, there's hope for you? Yes! Yes, there is! Okay?
There's hope for you.
There's always hope for us. So you understand where I'm coming from. Okay? Now, I want you to do me a favor. I want you to close your eyes, and I just want you to repeat this word because I want it to go inside your heart. Say, in accordance with this will of God, I have been made holy.
I have been made holy.
Consecrated. And sanctified. Through the offering. Of the sacrifice that was offered on that tree. The body of Jesus. To sanctify me. And to consecrate me.
And make me holy.
And I am holy. And I'm notifying the darkness. The light is greater.
Inside of me
than what you ever did to me. What does that do inside? What happens on the inside when you're declaring that word?
Confirming, building up.
How many feel a stirring? Why do you think the stirring is there? Because you're shaking up some garbage that says, don't you dare say those words. That can't be true for you. It's true for them. But it's not true for you. Close your eyes one more time. Say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
Your word is truth.
Your word is truth.
You are the living truth.
And
I'm pressuring.
The
lies and the deception that I believe.
With you.
Pushing out this lie.
I have been made holy.
It's done.
I
have been made pure and sanctified. Once and for all. I've been consecrated. By the offering on the tree.
The
perfect body of Jesus.
Paid for me.
The price is paid. Why am I trying to pay it? Make myself feel better? Am I trying to make myself feel better? When I'm pushing all the buttons to make myself holy. The works of man are what?
As filthy rags.
Why can't we accept the truth? Scary? Okay. 1 Peter, chapter 1. Come in. Oh, okay.
Sorry.
That's all right.
Do you have a moment to please read today?
Sure, definitely. All right, thanks. 1 Peter, chapter 1. First one, Peter, an apostle, a special messenger of Jesus Christ, writing to the elect. Writing to whom?
The elect.
Could that be the consecrated ones? The consecrated, purified ones? Do you qualify? Are you the elect? Whoa! Tell your neighbor, I've just been elected. I didn't have to wait. I've been elected. That's right. Dale, right on target. Okay? Exiles of the dispersion scattered abroad in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. Now, in other words, he's writing this letter to those who have been pushed out of where? Israel. When you think of it, that's the history part. But at the same time, he's telling them, you are elect. Why do you think he knows they're elect or elected? Because he went through the trial that he had to go through to get rid of his unbelief about himself. In case you forgot, who chased him? Jesus chased him. Confronted him. Was Peter aware of the deceiving spirits that were using him?
No.
No, he had no clue. Did he know it was in him when he was making that wonderful declaration, I'll never deny you?
No,
he had no clue. Is he an example for you and me?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Okay? He gives me hope. Peter gives me a great deal of hope, because when I'm not in my right mind and I go do something stupid, I can repent and run back to the course and say, okay, God, I really acted stupidly. Or my flesh took over. How many have ever had a problem with their flesh?
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Going to the refrigerator one extra time, which I did last night.
You didn't have to bring that up.
Well, it's the truth. I was talking about me. I'm not talking about anybody else. It was talking to me.
He's guilty, though.
We're all guilty. How many have ever gone to the refrigerator when they shouldn't have been? Thank you. And I went there and I had this wonderful little snack. Well, guess what? It wasn't something I should have eaten. So at 1 o'clock and at 2 o'clock, I was up because my stomach was not behaving. And whose fault was it?
Yours.
Okay. Did you notice there was a quick agreement?
Actually, this is a good lesson.
Hear me now. When I know that I've failed, what do I do? See, the accuser's on my case now. Mm-hmm. Haven't been able to sleep. Who misbehaved? Was it the real me?
No.
Thank you. I got one on my side. It wasn't the real me. Okay? But there was a seducing spirit that came and said, oh, you should have this little extra. And that little extra caused a stomach upset, which, what, disturbed my rest, which he was hoping to ruin my day. But guess what? I said, all things work together for good for those who love the Lord. And if you think you're going to be on my case tonight, no way! So at 2:50, I was up taking communion. And the Lord gave me a word. And this morning, I got a telephone call, and the word was for somebody else. That telephone call set that man free.
Amen.
So why get so upset about a stupid choice? God used it for His glory. Okay, so I had a little more time to pray. Yay!
Amen.
So much for self-condemnation, because I would have went at one time on a terrible condemnation. Oh, well, I'll never do that again. I'm not going to say those words. No way, because that's not the real me. And if I concentrate on the failure, rather than His grace to carry me the next time, okay, and keep me away from the refrigerator... Especially the second trip. First trip was okay. It's the second trip that was bad. Got it? Now, wait a minute. What are you giggling about? Okay, we're going to go on. Let's go to the Word. Well,
I think the fire is in the kettle.
Yes, can I say a word? You know, that when I started going to the Carlos Natus Church, everybody there would say, the devil made me do it. The devil made me do it. And I said, stop it. You're giving them glory by saying that. I did.
Okay.
I says, don't give him the glory that he made you do it. But I feel that, you know, if I do something wrong, even if the devil was tempting me to do it, I didn't have to do it, right?
True.
So it's still me, myself, and I.
Oh, those three things. Those three kings, you know about those three kings? Yeah, the wonderful kingdom of self.
Amen.
Verse 2.
Who were chosen, foreknown by God the Father, consecrated, you see the word? Consecrated, sanctified, made holy, sanctified, made holy, sanctified, made holy. Why am I pushing your buttons? Because it's the truth. By the Spirit, to obedience to Jesus Christ, the Messiah, to be sprinkled with His blood, may grace, spiritual blessing, and I believe physical blessings, both, peace, be given to you in increasing abundance. In increasing abundance. That spiritual peace to be realized in and through Christ, bringing forth freedom from fears, agitations, passions, and moral conflict. Wow, that even takes care of the refrigerator. Well,
the passion or the moral conflict? Or both.
How about both? What am I saying to you this morning? You serve such a loving Father.
Huh? You're giving us wonderful advice.
Well, I'm feeding you the truth of His Word rather than the opinions of men. And your own opinion, because your own opinion will sink you. Your own opinion and your own ideas about who you are in Christ will definitely bury you alive. I want to just show you why sometimes God allows a hardship to come into somebody's life. Most of you know about my grandson Christopher, who's had two surgeries in the past 3 weeks in Boston. And my wife and I were praying for him again, and I was praying for him during the night. Prayed for him on the way home yesterday because my wife said, it's not been a good day. It's been a rough day. And I noticed it too, but she had more of it because she had more hours with him than I did, because I left, of course. I had a little bit of time with him in yesterday afternoon. And of course, last evening, I didn't. So God got some marvelous grace this morning. I went a couple things I had to do. And I went back into the family room and asked him what he would like for breakfast. And he says, well, I think I'd like a muffin. So I went and got one out of the freezer and I put it in the microwave to unthaw it, because, you know, I like to keep them fresh. And that way they're individually wrapped, ready to put in the microwave. So I did that, and I put some butter on it and gave him something to drink. And I said, honey, I pray you're feeling a little bit better today. In the past 3 weeks, we've not been able to actually almost 4 weeks, no communication. So the tears are rolling out of his eyes, and he says, you know, he says, how would you feel
if the person that really should be there for you hasn't even called, but calls the other people in your family, but they don't bother with you? And I said, Chris, you've got to realize that your mom's broken. She's got broken parts in her heart. And now the tears are just welling up in me. And I said, honey, all I can tell you is she's doing the best with what she knows. And maybe there's things that you don't know inside of her heart that are very, very broken. And when she sees you hurting, it may be impossible for her to help you. But I said, you know what? God gave you to me a long time ago. I says, we're going to continue praying for you, Mom. And you know, I could feel the pain. I could feel the hurt. I could feel the depression come back in. And I said, honey, God has given you a new hip right now. He's given you a beautiful little girl. She's full of life and full of joy. You've had the best wife you could possibly get to take care of you in this horrible time of a nightmare that's been going on for really almost 2 years. I says, and you're getting better. So when does therapy start? He says, Wednesday. It's good. So we talked. I held him. I says, your eyes sure could use a hug. And so he kind of shrugged it off because he's Mr. Independent. And so I just bent over and gave him a hug and kissed the back of his head. You know, none of us know what the other one's going through. None of us have an experience to be able to duplicate. You can taste a little. But you see, I was there to be able to give him a little love this morning. And God had ordained that he would be with us rather than being somewhere else, because he could have been somewhere else. About half an hour later, his dad showed up because he's the official babysitter this morning, and that gave me an opportunity to teach my son. And God is bringing unity in this family through this pain. God is bringing harmony, and God's grace is visible through this pain. Why do we run from it? Why do we try to escape it? Because we want to just have a little bit of selfishness. Those three kings show up, me, myself, and I. And when we're serving those three kings, we have a hard time. And I was trying to make him aware. There is a reality to your circumstance. It's not make-believe. It's still very painful. But you can go a little higher. And I said, therapy starts Wednesday. God's going to continue giving you grace. We're going to continue praying for you. We haven't stopped. And I said, you know what? Soon you'll be able to look back, and maybe then you can help Mom. And then he gave me some things about, well, what about and I? And I said, yes, I understand. You went out of your way. You did what you're supposed to do. I says, and don't stop. In other words, trying to give him an example that retaliation will get him nowhere, but to just continue to give to this broken vessel. And she is a broken vessel. So what do we do? How do we go forward with that kind of a testimony? By choice. And to encourage one another. Encourage those around you that are having a harder time than maybe your own kingdom. I have a book at home called The Kingdom of Self. And when I first read it, I cried all the way through it. Because I saw who I served for a long time. And I can tell you this. It's only through the grace of God that I'm losing some of those kings. I bury them. They come out of the sand and they bounce up when you least expect them. They've got resurrection power. And they come back. Okay? And all I can ask you to do is to continue to pray for one another that you may be healed. Remember, Job didn't want to pray for his irritating friends. But God gave him the job to pray for them anyway. Yes, yes.
I don't know if this is an inappropriate time. If it is, just tell me so. But my next door neighbor called yesterday. She says, you're the only one that I know to call. And asked if I would ask people for prayer. For her son, I've mentioned him before, David.
Yep.
And he has two little girls. And a beautiful home, you know, like a $1 million house. And
yeah.
Anyway, his wife started cheating on him, whatever. And he would have done anything for her.
Yeah.
And she refused, you know, to get help because she said she was fine. Anyway, they're going through a divorce, and the pre-trial date, and I don't think they're going to go to trial, but it's getting pretty hairy, and is November 25th, 2 days before Thanksgiving. And, of course, she doesn't want to give. She wants to hold back on the money from the house and this and that. But he needs to be able to have the money to buy a home. Anyway, that God will work it out with him so that he can have a home for his two little girls and that everything will work out, you know, for the good. And I guess
what's
his
name?
His name is David. And of course we have to also, I suppose, pray for his wife. Because that God will claim her for the kingdom, too, the whole family.
You
want to
pass?
Can I ask something?
You can ask anything you'd like.
And I said, me, myself, and I. When I come to church on the way here,
yeah.
If I'm spending time with the Lord at home or reading the Bible, you know, there's a lot of distraction, and I always use those words. I said, Lord, please remove every distraction from me, myself, and I. So do I say something wrong?
No.
Oh, okay.
No. He's already done it.
Yeah, but I mean,
you're still surviving,
mm-hmm.
in spite of the pain that you've been through, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that the Holy Spirit, when He began that work in us, the transitioning of where we come from and how we think and how we respond, those are actually thought patterns and ways of thinking that have been established for a long time. And what you can ask for, if you want to simplify it, it's based on 2 Corinthians 10, to ask the Holy Spirit to pull down the strongholds in your mind and burn them up. Because those are old ways of thinking, and mm-hmm. that's where we fall into old patterns, because we're stuck there. And the only one that can really change us is Him. I handed you some prayer request cards, and if you need more, there's obviously there in the back. But I believe that as we go forth in this night, that we're going to take a special time tonight, because tonight is the official closing of the feast, and we will take some time to intercede for the ones that have called, because there's been quite a few calls. There's also been some internet requests. We do have people who, you know, put them up on the website, and there is attention given there. But you know, sometimes a little bit of writing it down helps to alleviate some of the pressure. So don't be afraid to write it down. And if you need others, there's more. Okay?
Where do you put these?
Just on the altar. Okay? Because we have a whole stack of them, but we've prayed over them before. Mm-hmm. And most of the time what we do is we pray over them during the communion time.
Okay.